At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's.
With today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
Right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Another outstanding lineup coming your way over the next 2 hours. We have got so much to get into. And of course, all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And we are inside the Quicken Loans studios right here in Houston. Tonight, we're going to open up our show and we're going to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're also going to get an update on the Oklahoma Sooners. It is never too early to talk some college football. That's right, because the Sooners are going to be down here facing Houston September 3rd. We're looking forward to that. Always a pleasure to have back with us. He is, guys and gals, he is a Big E favorite, the senior writer with OU Insider, and you can listen to him on 1400 AM KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Always compelling radio, one of the best in our business. I pledge my eternal love to him. That is James Hale. How about that for an open, James?
Hey, that's as good as it gets. And every time I do radio with you, the only thing that could be better is if I could do television and be sitting there so I could actually see you. People just don't know how beautiful you really are unless they can go to your website and see that, or, you know, you got a great website and, but it's always great to talk to you.
Well, James, before we get into all the X's and O's, you got big plans for this Memorial Day weekend?
You know, when you're grinding all the time, and you're grinding too, and so am I, right? So
right.
A lot of times when you get to a three-day weekend, it is, hey, can I just have a hot dog and have a brewski and relax? I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I don't have big plans to go to the lake, and usually I'm covering something.
Yeah.
So, who knows? You know, the OU softball team, you know, could be in the, they could have great things going, and so could baseball. So I'll be covering stuff. So, you know, usually it's just somebody will grill, though. I will get me a hot dog or a hamburger. I guarantee it.
Well, I know earlier in the week you were over at OU working on a media pass and some credentials. How is that stadium renovation? How are they coming along? Are they going to meet the deadline?
You're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. And, oh, yeah, they'll meet the deadline if they have to work around the clock for the next 4 months. But I think they're ahead of schedule. I don't hear about any panic in terms of having the stadium ready for the Ohio State game or the opener against Louisiana Monroe. You know, I think they've got everything pretty much set up and ready to go. It looks like a bowled-in stadium now. You know, now they've got to put in the infrastructure or the seats and things like that. It's absolutely fantastic.
Wow.
It's a unique deal. I've been around now for two or three renovations. Boy, that dates me, I know, but I have. I think this one's the most exciting one, It actually bowls in the stadium. And how many times have you and I and other people talked about, boy, they ought to bowl in that stadium? Well, they are. And now the Ohio State game will give us a great feel for how that's going to impact home games in the future. I've always thought that the home field advantage for OU is pretty strong, but it's not the best in the country. It's somewhat of an older crowd to a certain extent, and you know it can get loud. And there's been a couple of games that Bob has congratulated the crowd because he really thought it had an impact. But there's also been a couple he said, hey, we need to get a little louder. We could use this or that. I think they feel like the way the sound is just going to be kept in the stadium, and with the new scoreboard, which means a new sound system, everything will be crisper, louder, more intimidating for the home team. And I really think this is going to be a benefit. I know it's helping them in recruiting as more and more kids bring up the renovations. And, of course, they may be talking more about, you know, locker rooms, training facilities, the new weightlifting facility as much as they are the stadium itself. But every young man and woman, you know, whatever sport they're in, they like to go to a school that has great facilities for them to play in. And I think this is really going to benefit OU in the future. You're going to love it. I think it's going to be pretty amazing.
I can't wait to go up there and take a tour. I have to wonder, too, how much was fundraising impacted by the downturn and the volatility in the oil and gas sector?
I hear a bunch. You know, they've ended up funding it through bonds that they purchased. And they've raised quite a bit of money. But it has hurt. For instance, let's say, I've heard this has happened a few times. Some, you know, people have pledged $3 or $4 million or $5 million, and but they could only do $1 million because of the downturn in the oil. So you have that happen to 3 or 4 guys, and all of a sudden that's $18 million or $16 million you have to make up, and that's never easy to do. So no, it's impacted it. There's no doubt about it. And they had plans for softball and baseball, and I think they're going to bite the bullet and go ahead and redo the softball stadium because Patty Gasso is selling out that stadium. They sold out like half their games this year. That's pretty impressive for softball. Baseball doesn't quite draw as well. It's an anomaly around here. Softball's supported a lot more or a lot better than baseball. But, downturn in the oil industry, that always affects the state of Oklahoma a great deal. That's certainly been the case here.
The senior writer with OU Insider and talk show host of Sports Talk 1400 KREF, James Hale, he's a legend in Oklahoma, is back with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. What a great way to kick off our program. Of course, this interview is being brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click today to find out what you can save. So, James, talk to me about how did the Sooners look in spring practice?
They felt really encouraged about the team, and they're pretty happy about where they're at, and they think they're going to be pretty good next year. Baker Mayfield gives you that feeling because he's really good. He's striving to get better. He's not resting on his laurels, and he's a great leader. So you got everything that you are looking for in your senior quarterback, and he's really a talented guy. The offensive line, they need to find 2 other starters, but they've got more depth in the offensive line than they have since Bill Beedenbow's been the offensive coordinator. He actually had 13 guys to work with in the spring, and that's unheard of. A couple of newcomers, Cody Ford and Ben Powers, kind of emerged as the guards. That would allow them to leave sophomore Drew Samia at right tackle. You have sophomore Orlando Brown at left tackle, and Jonathan Alvarez, who started at guard last year for them, moves to a more natural position for him at center. It's a bigger group than the one they would have had last year. Everybody's about, you know, from 311 to 357 in Brown, and he's trimming down, so he's going to try to get to 340. Even their backups, Aston Julius, who may end up being a starter, is 354 pounds. You know, you have a couple of other guys that are close to 300, so they believe this offensive line is going to be a more stronger group. So an outside linebacker, they got 5 guys coming in. That's not a settled position.
Mm-hmm.
Oboe is a junior, has kind of emerged as one guy, but they've got all their guys back in the secondary outside of Sanchez, who decided to go pro. And that's still a battle. Micaiah Quick is going to move from receiver to corner to see if he can win that job, and he might. He's a real gifted athlete. If not, they can always put him back at receiver. So they feel pretty good about how things went. Seibert had a great spring kicking the ball. He's probably going to take over kickoff duties as well, so he'll handle all the principles of kicking. But he's really good, and they think he can be really good at doing all those things. So, they feel like they're pretty good. Their schedule is so challenging. It's one of the toughest Bob has ever had because nobody expected when they put the schedule together that Houston was going to be this good. And here they are, a top 10 team, coming off a victory against Florida State.
That's right.
The Heisman Trophy candidate back at quarterback and Ward. Then you got Ohio State rolling in and an epic matchup between elite programs that have been elite for centuries. And then after that, the Sooners go on the road to TCU before they play the Red River rivalry against Texas. And they lost to Texas last year. So the first five games are going to tell you a lot about how good Oklahoma is.
James Hale has been with us tonight to kick off our show at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Check him out online, senior writer with OU Insider and talk show host at Sports Talk 1400 KREF. You know, James, we've been doing our segment for so many years. You would think that I would have learned we've always got to schedule time for two segments. We're out of time. We love having you on, James. Thanks.
Hey, no problem, E. We'll do it again soon.
Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at YSR. Andy Pondillo in studio talking some MLB news and notes.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to hour number one right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our next interview is brought to you by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click today and find out what you can save. Well, it is time to go around the diamond for our weekly MLB news and notes. Our good friend, he's live and in person, Andy Pondillo, is back with us. Good evening, Andy.
Well, good to be here. A lot of good baseball to talk about.
First and foremost, the family of Tony Gwynn files a wrongful death lawsuit against the tobacco industry. What was your reaction?
Oh, I felt that was kind of silly. That used to be a big thing in baseball back in the day. You do still see them chewing, but it's not like it was in the 90s. I feel like it's the thing that everybody did. They're doing steroids and chewing tobacco. So, but, you know, the best comparison I have is I like to go to the casino, but I don't go to the casino all the time and lose all my money, so I'm not going to sue them if I do so. I like to have a rum and coke every now and then. If I drink rum and coke every day, I pretty much know what's going to happen to my body. I don't understand why they would be suing a tobacco company when we know exactly what tobacco does to your body. And Tony Gwynn took the risk, and unfortunately, he paid the ultimate consequence for it.
And all the warnings are out there. Hey, Andy Pondillo, back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We wanted to hit on that, but there's so much more to get into. I want to get your thoughts on who are the MVPs at this point. Let's start in our backyard right here with the Houston Astros. Yes, they are struggling, but one of the positives and the bright spots is Jose Altuve. Is he your AL MVP?
Yes, he's my MVP right now, and he wouldn't win the MVP award if it ended at this point of the season because he's on a losing team. But if you're talking about a guy just who does the most for their team, you take Altuve off the Astros and their season might already be over. He's been that good. He's carried the offensive with his power. He's carried it with his speed. His defense has been gold glove caliber. He continues to improve. He's drawing more walks than he strikes out, which is something he's never really been that close to doing. Not to say he doesn't, you know, he was ever a strikeout guy, but he's just, at this point, he's doing a little bit of everything out there, and it just hasn't been enough for the team to get those wins, whether it be the pitching, the bullpen, the defense falling apart. He's been the guy, though, in the American League, and I really don't think there's anyone on his platform right now.
Are the Astros ever going to get their act together?
Nah, they probably will get better at some point this year, but you know, what does that mean? Does that mean 500 record and you miss postseason play? Does it mean you make a late season run just to miss by a couple games? I don't think they're this bad of a team. You know, it's hard to say. With the hole they've dug for themselves, they're going to have to play pretty incredible baseball the rest of the season to put themselves in a position to win that division.
MLB News and Notes back with us is Andy Pondillo at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, in hour number one. We are inside the Quicken Loans studios. And just a moment ago, you were talking about who would be your MVP in the American League. Well, let's talk about the NL MVP. Who would that be?
That'd be Yoenis Cespedes for me right now. Now, Bryce Harper, you know, everyone likes to, you know, jump on him because he does so much, what he does in the outfield, the base running, the hustle. He's just kind of like the face of baseball. But if I were to take one guy on a National League team and remove him from their organization, mm-hmm. I think the Mets would crater offensively without Yoenis Cespedes. I've been saying the entire year, the entire offseason, does this team have enough offense? They lose Daniel Murphy. They do have some nice young players, but can they do it offensively? Do they have the depth? Is Curtis Granderson and Yoenis Cespedes as your two veterans in the lineup, how much can they really handle? And so far, Cespedes has been just as good as he was last year, if not better. Ever since he put on that Mets uniform, things have changed for him. Is he the best player in the National League? No, he isn't. But to me, he's the most valuable player to his team.
You know, you and I were talking earlier, and I thought you brought up a great point, the fact that he has matured so much dramatically as a hitter. How has he done it, Andy?
I don't know. He likes National League pitching. For some reason, some guys thrive in one league and they don't thrive in the other. I just know that he probably needs to stay with the Mets for a while. He needs to stay in this league because when he was in the American League, he was a guy that was, you know, he hit the home runs. He drove in his runs. He put him in a good batting order. They're batting him around Josh Donaldson with Oakland, which certainly helped his numbers. But he never was an on-base guy. He was never a guy that saw enough pitches. He went to Boston, you know, for a very short span, and they didn't keep him very long. He was with the Tigers. He was, you know, kind of an afterthought over there. He was good, but you had Miguel Cabrera, J.D. Martinez was putting up monster numbers, Victor Martinez, the fantastic veteran over there. Cespedes was just a guy who was batting sixth in the order and an expendable piece when they decided to sell him over to the Mets. So whatever's happened in New York, whatever mechanical changes he's made, or if he just figured it out. Sometimes guys in baseball, they just figure it out, and maybe there isn't an explanation.
He is back with us, Andy Pondillo, with our weekly MLB news and notes. And here in just a moment, I want to hit on some of the early trade candidates. Let's head north. Let's talk about the Rangers. The fact that the Rangers, they're about to welcome back their pitcher, Yu Darvish, and then it learned on Monday that they're not going to have the services of their outfielder in Josh Hamilton for the remainder of the 2016 season. How much does this impact them, and are you surprised?
Josh Hamilton won't impact them at all. They have a surplus of outfielders. They don't need Josh Hamilton. They should have really never even traded for him last year to begin with. That was kind of a silly move. I know it was kind of a feel-good move. Maybe he'll come back to Texas and do something, but the guy's absolutely shot. He needs to probably retire as soon as he can. And, you know, he had a good little span there. His span where he looked like the best player in the American League is a lot more than what a lot of other athletes have done in Major League level. But now with Nomar Mazara tearing it up the way he is, Ian Desmond is proving to be a good signing for them in the outfield. And, you know, Shin-Soo Choo, once he gets himself all the way healthy and productive again, he's as steady of a top-of-the-order hitter as you're going to find. They're set offensively. They don't need any more outfielders. This, you know, in a weird way for the Rangers, because they're wondering what are they going to do with Josh Hamilton when he comes back. Well, now they don't have to worry about it anymore. They have other guys that command those positions.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us about another minute right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, and the season is really rolling along. Who might we see that might get dealt? Who are some of those early trade candidates?
Well, you definitely look at the teams that are struggling. You're going to look immediately at Ryan Braun because he's having a major year for the Brewers this season, and that's fantastic what he's doing. I mean, this is a guy that after the whole steroid thing came out, you haven't seen him put up the numbers again. He has an extremely long contract with a lot of money on it that's going to be hard to move. But you're talking about Ryan Braun here. You're talking about a player that's impactful. I look for a National League team primarily to make a move to get him in before the July 31st deadline.
What about the Astros? Are they in a give-up mode?
Not in a give-up mode yet. It's a little too early, but you know, they get on one more bad losing streak, they fall to 15 games back out of the division, you may start to consider it. Kobe Rasmus would be the guy that would be the premium trade candidate, having a pretty good year with his on-base average, hitting for decent power. And then some of the veteran pitchers, a Doug Fister, a Scott Feldman, Mike Fiers, these guys would all be trade candidates. The Astros, as bad as things are, they do have young pitching. They do have guys that, to me, look like they're ready to be in the starting rotation, and Michael Feliz and Chris Davinsky. So that makes other guys expendable. The Astros have to sell. They might try to see what they can get for these veterans.
Okay, Andy, only about 30 seconds. The Angels need to rebuild, and if anybody team that should be tanking, should it be them?
Yeah, I think it should be them. I think that the fact they're right around 500 right now is, you know, I guess they're still competitive. They still think they can win. That's what you say to the media. That's what you tell your team, and they should be trying to win games. Overall, though, playing 500 ball or winning 75 games is going to do nothing for this organization. They need to be bottomed out like the Braves are, but I don't think they're brave enough to do it.
Always providing some great information, our MLB news and notes. Andy Pondillo back with us in studio. Thanks so much, Andy, and
no problem. Be safe
this weekend. Thank you. Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR, the Big East Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is time to hoop it up with one of our regulars and one of the hardest working guys in our business, one of our favorites, Mitch Lawrence of Sirius XM NBA Radio. Good evening on this Friday, Mitch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the big Memorial Day weekend. Do you have any special plans?
I'll just be in studio at Sirius and probably writing some stuff for Forbes and Sporting News. So, no, typical no holidays for me, but I'm not crying to you. I hope you enjoy yours, too.
Absolutely. Looking forward to a big weekend. Okay, so let's get into this. The big news of the week, Draymond Green's below-the-belt hit on Oklahoma City's Stephen Adams. It's been in the headlines all week long. And then also, I want to get into the NBA suspends Cavs' Donte Jones for his hit in the groin. So my question to you is, what is up with all this bad boy behavior? I mean, these guys, they need to go sit in timeout and go sit at the bottom of the stairs, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. The hits below the belt to the regions down below, they're becoming more prevalent in the NBA. This has been going on now a lot in the last couple of years, and suspensions, we know Draymond Green didn't get suspended, Alyssa, but suspensions have been on the rise, too. I think last year, in total, there were four or five suspensions for hits below the belt, which was more than like the last couple of years combined. But you know what's going on, too, is hits below the belt have been, you know, they've always been around. Now they're being focused on more. We got more camera angles. We see more plays. But also you got to remember, about 10 years ago, nobody was running the pick and rolls. You know, they were about, I think I saw a statistic where like 20,000 pick and rolls were run in the 2004-05 season. Now they're like 40,000 run per year in the NBA.
Especially with San Antonio.
So that gets people, obviously big men coming up to guard little men. And as Stan Van Gundy called this shot to the lower parts by the little guys, that's the little man's weapon. And that's what we're seeing. And it's unfortunate. And the league has to clean it up. But because I'll tell you what, in years past, that would have led to fights and stuff, but now it's just leading to a lot of bigger guys bending over in pain.
The host of Sirius XM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Of course, comparing rates to help you save. That is Progressive. So, Mitch, what message do you think these players are trying to send with this below-the-belt action?
Well, the players are trying to get, you know, any kind of competitive advantage they can. We've seen that with guys like Chris Paul, the little guys who take swings at the bigger guys. Chris Paul against Kevin Durant, he wasn't suspended a couple of, this season. We've had Sean Livingston delivered to Dirk Nowitzki in the past. He got suspended. So, I mean, everybody's trying to get an edge out there on the court. I think the important thing is for the league to kind of start really cracking down on this. And, you know, for my money, Draymond Green should have been suspended because I go back to the standard, what LeBron James, who's been a target of this stuff too, what he calls a non-basketball play. That's a non-basketball move. That's the move with the intent to hurt somebody. I don't care what the league says. That's the way I view it, and there's no room for it in basketball.
So when you watch the replay of Draymond Green, as you had just said, you believe, and I am in agreement with you, that the NBA should have suspended him. I mean, you ever seen such a deliberate, intentional follow-through kick?
No, never have, and that's why it was a non-basketball play. He should have been suspended. Now, I know the league is never going to admit this. I don't think they wanted to sit Draymond Green. If Stephen Adams is delivering the kick to Draymond Green, you think Stephen Adams is getting suspended? Mm-hmm. I'd get you any amount of money that Stephen Adams or anybody else, a lesser player, would be suspended. But because it's Draymond Green, I don't think the league wants to mess with its stars, and that's unfortunate. That's the wrong message to send to your players. It's the wrong message to send to your fans.
So you think the NBA, the league, they shot an air ball?
Oh, absolutely. But I think it was an intentional air ball. I think they wanted to keep the series competitive. They want to have Draymond Green on the floor for a game. They don't want to suspend a guy who basically is one of the top players in the NBA.
Mitch Lawrence, he's a hybrid. He does it all. Of course, he's on SiriusXM NBA Radio, does a fantastic job, but he's also a longtime NBA columnist. You can check him out at Forbes.com and Sporting News NBA. Mitch, reach out to our audience. Where can they chat with you, perhaps, on Twitter?
Mitch, at Mitch underscore Lawrence is my Twitter handle if they want to submit any questions or if they have complaints, which are always numerous, especially from people up in Toronto. That's okay. I'm always willing to answer.
Okay. All right. So let's talk some more about the NBA's discipline measures for groin shots, the belief that it should go to a whole new level. Moving forward, do you think it will?
No, I think it's going to depend on the person. I think it's going to depend on the player. I think it's going to depend on the situation. I think in a regular season, yeah, you might get a star suspended here or there, but I don't think in the playoffs they're going to start suspending their stars. I think the league knows it's an entertainment business, and people are going, you know, they want to see the stars play, and they want the fans to be able to see the stars. So I don't think it's really going to be taken to another level. I think the league is going to pick and choose who they suspend and what that person's all about.
Okay, one of the reasons we invited Mitch Lawrence on with us right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, he, of course, is in New York, and we want to talk about this new era of basketball with the Knicks. Wanted to get your takeaways, your reaction to the Knicks hiring of Jeff Hornacek. I bet you predicted this one, didn't you, Mitch?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I don't think Phil Jackson predicted it.
Okay.
I mean, Let's go back to the season that the Knicks finished, where Kurt Rambis finished out the season for Derek Fisher. And Phil Jackson was very happy with Kurt Rambis, his longtime assistant with the Lakers, and he's been helping out in New York. And the reason is because he knows Kurt Rambis, and Kurt Rambis runs the triangle. And Phil was sending messages to the media, basically telling them late in the season when he went with the media that, you know, he was pretty much fine with Kurt Rambis coming back. And he, you know, Phil wanted to adhere to the triangle. That's something he knows and he loves. And his familiarity with Rambis and Rambis going to run this strict triangle, he was not going to divert for it. And that was one of the problems with Derek Fisher before he got fired. And Phil didn't appreciate that. So Phil was going to go into the offseason basically hiring Kurt Rambis. Then they also, after the season, Alyssa, ran, which was very unusual. I've never heard of this at all. After the season, they had players in to run more triangle with a kind of a triangle workshop. Okay, as the rest of the league, when you're eliminated, those teams take off, the players scatter. They had the players stay for 2 days to work with Kurt Rambis and Phil Jackson. Shortly after that, Phil goes on vacation. Now we're a couple of weeks into vacation, and all of a sudden, Phil is starting to interview other people for the head coaching job. He talks to David Blatt. He talks to Frank Vogel. Two strange things. Why are they strange? He doesn't know either guy, and they don't run the triangle. So that started to lead us to the belief of maybe this stuff's a smokescreen, or maybe there are people above Phil Knicks who don't want him to hire Kurt Rambis because there's going to be rioting in the streets if he did, because Kurt Rambis did a terrible job. He's about 100 games under 500 as a head coach, and maybe Phil, you know, maybe somebody started to tell Phil, hey, look, that's not going to sell here, Kurt Rambis. So anyway, he also interviews Jeff Hornacek, and they hire Jeff Hornacek, who Phil doesn't know, okay, never coached Hornacek, and who doesn't run the triangle. In Phoenix, he didn't run the triangle. They had a guard-oriented offense in Jeff's seasons out there running the Suns, and they had one really good year his first year, and then management kind of undermined Jeff by trading off a bunch of people. So the upshot is, in a span of several weeks, Phil has gone from wanting to hire Rambis because he's his friend and he runs a triangle to hiring a guy he doesn't know who doesn't run the triangle. That leads me to believe it's not entirely Phil's hire.
Well, do you think that this offense of Jeff Hornacek, this will include perhaps some triangle offensive principles, or are they going to totally go away from it?
Well, you know, that's a good question. He may. I mean, you know, there's talk about that, but it really doesn't matter. The problem is he doesn't have any guards. You know, he's got two pretty good forwards. He's got Carmelo Anthony, who's a pretty good scorer still, even though he's at an advanced age with some knee problems. And he's got Kristaps Porzingis, who finished, right up there near the top for, you know, Karl Anthony Towns was rookie of the year, but Porzingis did fine his rookie year. And, you know, those two guys you may be able to count on. The problem is that they don't have a quality point guard. They don't even have a second-tier point guard, and they don't have a shooting guard. And so I don't know what kind of offense Hornacek is going to run, because we really don't know the composition of the roster. There's still a lot of moves to be made. Now, the Knicks don't have a draft pick. They don't have a number one pick. this year, but they're going to have a lot of cap money, and they're going to have to go out and try to get a card. Now, I don't know who they're looking for. That's going to be interesting to see the dynamic there in terms of will Hornacek have input into what he wants in terms of a guard. And then from there, we're going to find out, once they get their roster assembled, what kind of offense he's going to run. Maybe a little triangle, who knows. But the problem is, no matter who was coaching this team, Alyssa, the roster had to have a tremendous amount of upgrades, which Phil Jackson still has to go out and do.
We would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always strong and steady. So let's talk about that point guard position. What free agent point guards, in your opinion, Mitch? Just fantasize just a bit for all the Knicks fans out there. I mean, who would you like to be able to bring in and to run and quarterback Jeff Hornacek's system?
Can I get Russell Westbrook?
Ooh, I like him.
Yeah, he's not free for a couple of years. I don't think he'd want to come to New York. That's the guy we'd all want in New York.
Okay.
There's talk about Mike Conley Jr., although I don't know. I would think the Grizzlies want to resign, and I've heard they want to resign, and they're going to give Mike Conley Jr., they're going to open up the vault for him. So you have that. I've also heard Mike Conley Jr. maybe playing in San Antonio, but he's free. And then you have, there's always talk about Rajon Rondo. Now, I wouldn't touch him if I were the Knicks, but they're in charge of what they're going to do. So he's a possibility maybe to come in. I always go back to this, Alyssa. Jeff Hornacek had success in Phoenix with guys like Goran Dragic, with an Eric Bledsoe, with players like that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks try to make a move for a guy that Jeff Hornacek had in Phoenix. Now, I don't know what they can trade to get a guy like that, but it's one of those things with familiarity and stuff like that, where I think that Jeff Hornacek would probably like to get a guy he's actually coached before to play the point guard position. I just don't know if that's possible at this point.
How big is Carmelo Anthony's endorsement of this hire of Jeff Hornacek?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that Carmelo Anthony didn't want Kurt Rambis. Now, I don't think he had any input with Phil Jackson about Jeff Hornacek. But I think that Carmelo's grumblings about Kurt Rambis, along with overwhelming anti-Rambis sentiment in the locker room and on the outside among the fans, I think he's happy that it's like, at least it's not Kurt Rambis. And I think that Carmelo knows basketball. He knew what Hornacek ran out in Phoenix. It was a kind of a freewheeling offense. It was an offense where you could shoot threes. It was an offense where you played with a lot more pace than they were playing in the triangle. So I think from that standpoint, Carmelo's probably very happy because it's going to be able to show off his wares a lot more than, playing in this restricted triangle system, which is basically an antiquated deal where you don't get any threes, you shoot medium range jumpers, and you don't run and you don't try to push the ball. So I'm sure he's very happy not playing the triangle.
So what is the view of Jeff Hornacek and a perception of him across the league? I mean, do you think that he's going to be able to attract some high-profile free agents this summer?
I don't know. I think he had a player-friendly system in his first year out in Phoenix. I think he was undermined by the Phoenix front office when they started trade-off pieces, including Goran Dragic. I think that the players know what was going on out there. I think I've talked to other coaches and GMs and stuff, and people think that Jeff Hornacek basically is a very good offensive mind. He runs a very good system. He knows the game. Here's an interesting thing. He was going to, apparently, before he agreed to New York, he was going to coach, be with Steve Kerr on the bench, replacing Luke Walton as Golden State's number one assistant. Now, Steve Kerr is very close to Phil Jackson, so I'm sure Steve Kerr probably heartily endorsed to Phil Jackson. I'm sure Phil talked to Steve about Jeff Hornacek before he hired him, and I think Steve probably gave him a rave review.
So let me ask you this, Mitch. I mean, what does the future hold for Phil Jackson? What's his longevity in terms of with the Knicks organization?
Well, he's down for 3 more years in terms of his original 5-year deal, but he has an out, and I think the Knicks also have an out after next season. Long term, not many people expect that Phil's going to be here for 5 years. A lot of people feel like he's probably going to get out after this coming season, but Phil's never really, you know, he said he's in it for the long run, or he's in it to win it, or whatever he said. He's tried to give him the impression that he's in it to stay. But, hey, there's always a chance that he could go back to the Lakers, and wow, Jeannie Buss, you know, she's there.
Connect the dots. Lakers, there you go.
Right, his longtime fiance. So who's to say Phil doesn't try to move into the front office there? He's not going to go back to the bench. We know that. He's no longer going to coach. But I think that, you know, the scenario is out there that Phil maybe one day works for Jeannie with the Lakers.
Hey, Mitch Lawrence with us about another minute right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Always has some great information. I have to ask you this. I've been so curious. Why hasn't Mark Jackson gotten hired yet?
That's another good question. You know, Mark Jackson, you have to remember that when Mark Jackson did a very good job at Golden State, and Steve Kerr credits him for basically establishing the foundation for the Warriors that led to, with Steve Kerr winning the title last year. But Mark Jackson was fired out there, and Mark Jackson, there was a lot of complaints about Mark Jackson from front office people. He had problems with some of his assistants, and so an ownership had some reservations about Mark. Now, I'm sure that he's had to answer a lot of things in the interviews that he's had since then for head coaching positions, and he'll have to answer more of those type of questions as he continues to interview for jobs. We all hope Mark Jackson gets back on the bench somewhere, but he left under such a cloud in Golden State that I think people just have a lot of questions, rightfully so, about what happened out there. Can he work with other people, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, my final question for Mitch Lawrence, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio and longtime NBA columnist. Check him out at Forbes.com. Final question for you is, I am a bit surprised that Carmelo Anthony, that he has not requested a trade, just with so much uncertainty that's surrounding this organization and this team.
Oh, no. He loves New York. For Carmelo, it's a lifestyle thing. He doesn't want to give up living in New York. He's the king of New York. The losses kind of roll off his back. He's not wired like Kobe Bryant where it kills him to lose. So, no. And his family loves New York, and he loves New York. And don't forget, it was only, 4 or 5 years ago where Carmelo forced his way to come back to New York. So he's not ready to at all waive that no trade. As a matter of fact, I got a feeling that he probably won't. He'll probably play out this contract because he just loves New York too much. And really, when it comes down to it, it's really more of a lifestyle change than a winning, than him requiring them to build a championship team. He's fine where he is, believe me.
We always love when Mitch Lawrence, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, is with us right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Thanks so much, Mitch, and have a very safe weekend, okay?
Hey, same to you. Thanks.
You bet. Stick around. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.